Welcome to the Vanguard Church Podcast. You're about to hear a sermon from Vanguard Church Central in the heart of Colorado Springs. With every message, it's our prayer that you hear and learn how to live out your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. May your faith be strengthened, your hope increased, and your heart inspired to live for Jesus no matter the cost. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening.
Who is Jesus? Who is he? The identity of who Jesus is rages on, and the debate from generation to generation continues over and over again. And let me tell you something. You're going to see today that Jesus' identity was a very painful thing to live out, guess what, in his biological family. In his biological family, he had brothers and sisters, and I don't know exactly what Joseph thought about him. There's no way to know. The Bible doesn't tell us. We do know that there were moments when Mary was a little frustrated with her son, Jesus. And I want to encourage, there's still just a little bit of an echo up here, Josh, so maybe we continue to work on that a little bit. Every one of us have moments in our lives when there is incredible pain because we have to choose to step into our identity. And as we step into our identity, you have to come to terms with this one truth. There will be people that you want to love you who will not accept who God has created you to be. There will be people in your life whom you want to love you who will not accept who God has created you to be. And I just want to encourage you, if you become an expert on who God has called other people to be, and you will miss out on being who God has called you to be. Christianity is not a spectate sport. We do not have the hero, the Peyton Manning that they showed during my Kentucky game the other night like 100 times. We do not have Peyton Mannings in the kingdom of God and everybody else gets to sit in the stands and watch. Every one of us, God has called to live out our identity and our purpose and our calling. And what we're going to see today is Jesus has brothers. You ready? They didn't like him. So here's a question for you before we jump in today. Can you do what God has called you to do, even if the people that you want to love you don't like you? You go, well, I don't know. Do you shrink back because you don't get the favor and the approval and the acceptance that you want? Or do you say, you know what, God, regardless of what the calling that you have placed on my life costs me, I will do what you've called me to do, no matter the cost. I invite you today to take your program, take your Bible, your internet device. Identity is painful to live out in relationships. But if you don't be who God has created you to be, you will never do what God has created you to do. If you don't be who God has created you to be, you will never do what God has called you to do. Look at John chapter 7, verse 1. Now, after this, Jesus went about in Galilee. He would not go about in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now that sounds like a regular Sunday morning service, doesn't it? I mean, they wanted to kill Jesus. They didn't just want him to stop talking. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to annihilate him, exterminate him. They wanted to make sure that he was not a problem. Now, why is that? We know in the Gospel of John that Nicodemus had to come in the night because he was afraid of what the leaders might think, the Pharisees. And so they were all afraid of these leaders, these religious leaders. So what religious leader are you afraid of? What religious leader are you afraid of? Jesus was afraid of none of them. He wasn't here for their approval. And he wasn't here just to do what they wanted. He was here to do what God Almighty had called him to do, no matter what it cost him. He said, I'm only going to tell you what I hear my Father say, and I'm only going to do what my Father tells me to do. And this was a threat to the religious. See, they saw Jesus as the Redeemer. So who is Jesus? Number one, Jesus is the Redeemer. Jesus is the Redeemer. Who is Jesus in your life? Who is Jesus to you? Every one of us have to make this determination. Every generation has to make this determination. And some people want to say, well, Jesus, and we're going to talk about this later in the text, Jesus is just a way. He's not the way. Jesus is a good idea, but he's, no. Jesus is not a way. He's the way. He's not a good idea. He's a person, and he did for you what nobody else ever did. So what is going on here? Verse 2, now the Jews' Feast of Booths was at hand. Now what is this? You know, like we have a fall festival here at Vanguard, Harvest Festival. That's what this was. They came together to remember the Exodus from Egypt and to thank God for the blessings that God had placed upon their lives. And so think about this. Everybody's getting together for a fun, thankful time. That's the context. Verse 3. So his brothers said to him, leave here and go to Judea that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For not even, catch this, not even his brothers, his biological brothers, this made Christmas hard, by the way, not even his biological brothers believed in him. What would you do? Do you ever wonder why you're such a nice guy or such a nice gal and everybody still doesn't like you? Do you understand that Jesus Christ was perfect and people still didn't like him? Now, that's not to say that we can use that as an excuse to be mean to each other, okay? And I understand there's nobody in this room, including me, that's perfect, but I want you to understand you can't be good enough. You can't be nice enough. You can't be whatever it is you think you can be to get everybody to think you're amazing. At some point, you've got to make a decision. You know what? I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be a jerk. But I've got to do what God has called me to do, regardless of what it costs me. How about you? You go, I don't know. Well, see, that might be part of your problem, because you're not sure he's worth it. He's already decided you're worth it. And so any cost that God exacts upon our lives, and I read this in my devotions this morning, and I'm not, I'll be honest with you, when I get to that moment, Virginia, where I've got to read the book of Job, you know, even with 10 chapters a day, it's still 4+ days. And I go, oh Lord, help me with these next 4+ days. Because none of us really like to read the book of Job. That is, unless we're going through it. But if we're not going through it, it's like, you know what? I feel sorry for that poor soul. Can we please move on? But see, God said to Satan, this is what your Bible says. God said to Satan, you have incited me against Job. Huh. Does God have that kind of confidence in you? Does God have the kind of confidence in you that he can say to Satan when Satan wants to come after you, can he say yes, or does he have to say you probably should pick somebody else? You go, well, I'm no match for the devil. No, but you and God are. I don't know what the question is, but the answer is yes, Jesus. I don't know what the question is, but the answer is yes, Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. It's tough when those who are biologically closest to you refuse to believe in you. Look at verse 6. Jesus said to them, my time is not yet come. What's interesting about Jesus And I really want to encourage you to apply this to your life. Jesus knew who he was. You ready? This is the tough part. The Bible says, walk by the Spirit. Okay. That means know who God's created you to be. Then it says, keep in what? Step with the Spirit. You know what that means? It's not just what God has asked you to do. It's when he's asked you to do it. It's when he's asked you to do it. And so listen to these words. Jesus said to them, my time has what? Not yet. You're not going to incite me, devil, to be something that is not yet. That God's timing is not yet. And how many times do we throw in the towel? How many times in our faith do we throw in the towel because of the circumstances of our lives? Jesus was hated by his own siblings. Now, do you think that was his fault? No. The world cannot hate you, Jesus says, but it hates me. Why is that? Jesus is going to tell us why the world hates him. Because I testify about it that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I'm not going up to the feast, for my time is not yet fully come. After this, he remained in Galilee, but after his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he also went up. Not publicly, but in private. See, Jesus was hated by the world, disbelieved in by his own family. He was following God's call. Do you understand that the most fulfilling thing you'll do with your life is also the loneliest thing you'll do with your life? Do you know what that is? What God's called you to do. What God's called you to do. It'll be the most significant thing you do with your life, and it'll also feel the loneliest. The loneliest. You say, can you give me a good example? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. How's that? Is that a good one? All alone. All alone. All alone. He said, they hated me because I exposed their evil. The hatred unleashed on Jesus. I want you to think about this. Whenever you seek to expose evil in the world, you know what the world will do? The world will accuse you of having a bad motive. They'll come after your motive. And after all these years, I've come to terms with the fact that if you step in and do what God has called you to do, if you invite people to come out of their darkness, like my buddy on the basketball court, well, you need this worse than me. Couldn't agree more. Praise God. Couldn't agree more. I'm the chief of sinners. But by the way, you're one too. So let's do this together. Let's do this together. Let's live this out together, and let's be who God has created us to be, and let's not stay focused on staying in the rut of where we're at, but to say, you know what, God, you can make me somebody I can't make myself. Principle number two, who is Jesus? Jesus is the truth teller about evil. If you want to live in a world where all you talk about is positive things, then you can't do what God has called you to do. There are going to be times when you have to have difficult conversations in your marriage, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your church, in your friendships. You go, no, I just want to be happy and praise the Lord all. Yes, you should be happy and praise the Lord all the time. But happy and praise the Lord all time and avoiding the evil that's in the world is not possible. Do you understand that all of us are going to die? Do you understand that? Yeah. Do you understand that you are going to die? And unless the Lord comes back, this world is going to go on, you ready? Without you. And when the world goes on without you, is it going to make a difference if you were here or not? When the world goes on without you, Will Jesus be able to make a difference after you're gone from this life because of how you lived while you were here? That's your choice. You say, I'm not sure it's worth it. Listen, he's already decided you're worth it. He's already decided. Principle number three, who is Jesus? Jesus is hated by false religion. There's only one true religion. James says it in the book of James. True religion. And by the way, James was Jesus' brother. So he was late to the party, but he got it. Amen. And so sometimes you got to go on and let your relatives catch up. You got to go live your purpose and let your relatives catch up to the calling that God has placed on your life. Now, listen, you don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to be mean. But you do have to go do what God has called you to do if you're going to be who God has created you to be. See, Jesus came privately because he knew the religious leaders' hatred had boiled to wanting to kill him. Look at verse 11. The Jews were looking for him at the feast. They were looking for him. And they were saying, where is he? And there was much muttering about him among the people, while some said, yeah, he's a good man. He's a pretty good dude. Here's what others said. No, he's leading the people astray. Yet for fear of the Jews, no one spoke openly of him. So who is Jesus? Number four, Jesus is a polarizing figure. I find Christians today, they try to massage Jesus so all their unbelieving friends who are connected to other religions can like them. They need their Jesus to be liked by all their friends and by all the other religions so that they can go along and get along. That's not the real Jesus. That's not the real Jesus. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And no one will come to the Father except through Jesus. That's it. That's it. That's it. And you understand in the American church, we've attacked sexuality to the point that we've deconstructed it. So now the American church is moving on to Jesus being the only way. And this is the next ground that the enemy is going to try to take, but he's not going to take it from this church. Because Jesus is the only reason why we exist. That's it. That's it. And I pray that when Jesus is no longer the only reason, that this church will no longer exist. See, fear controlled them. And they pretended to have power. And this is what religion does. They pretended to have power without God's presence. Without his presence. And I want you to understand that there are people all throughout Jesus' life, and there's people all throughout your life who want to be a part of the power of God, but they don't want to be a part of the presence of God. You say, how come? We just sang about it. God's presence is holy. Do you want to sing about a being that's holy? The American church has fallen in love with singing about the love of God, which is great. God is love. 1 John tells us that. But do you understand that if you read the book of Revelation, every song we're going to sing when we get to heaven is about his holiness? And sadly, sadly, we keep questioning, does God love us? But God's got a question for you. It's the same one he asked Peter. We want to know if God loves us. Guess what? God wants to know, Peter, do you love me? We'll get to that at the end of this book. God's love is not in question, but ours is. Ours is. Jesus is a polarizing figure. Don't try to turn Jesus into something he's not so that the relationships in your life will like you.
Verse 14. About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. I love this. Jesus goes from private to public right here, and he begins to teach. Jesus knew what he was doing. Verse 15, the Jews therefore marveled. They marveled. How is it that this man has learning when he has never studied? So Jesus answered them, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. My teaching is not mine, but he who sent me. This is a great question to ask yourself if you're a preacher. Is my teaching mine, or is it him who sent me? Because if it's him who sent me, then it's the Bible. If the teaching's mine, it's all the great ideas I have outside the Bible. Outside the Bible. And it is so interesting to me how religious leaders of our day, and I could name many, well, let me explain away the Bible so that I can start to teach you all this other stuff that's not in the Bible. That's not the point of church. The point of church is to teach you what's in the Bible, and that's it. And that's it. And by the way, that's a threat to the world. That's a threat to the world. It's an absolute threat to the world. See, I find it interesting that in our nation, Christianity teaches, and I'll just pick on one for example. Christianity teaches that homosexuality is a sin. But the Muslim religion teaches they need to be killed. Do you understand the difference? I hope you understand the difference. And we have a nation that's drinking in Muslim theology, which is amazing to me. We have a nation that's bowing the knee to the false Muslim god in hopes that somehow or another they're going to agree together. And eventually there is going to be an incredible war that's going to unleash upon our nation because we continue to bow the knee to the idols of this world. Verse 17, if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no deceit, no falsehood, no lie, no duplicity, no deception. So who is Jesus? Number five, Jesus is God and seeks the Father's glory. Jesus is God. I want to make a very bold statement to you, which wouldn't have been bold a generation ago, Rob. If you can't say Jesus is God, you can't be a Christian. And you can't go to heaven. If you can't say Jesus is God, you can't be a Christian and you can't go to heaven. You go, well, that's just awful mean. Can't we say that nicer? That's as nice as I can say it. Jesus is saying, my motive is pure. It's interesting, isn't it? Jesus is telling us, listen, I'm not here for my glory. I'm not here to get my rocks off. I'm not here to stroke my ego. I'm not here to try to seek my own glory. Why are you here? You go, that's just so hard. I think I'm going to quit. Then you're here for your glory. You're here for your glory. Because if you're here for God's glory, you ready? If you're here for God's glory, doesn't matter how hard it is. You go, oh, Pastor, you just don't understand. No, I don't think you understand. I don't know what that was yesterday, but I stood up under it, and it took me till about 4:30 in the afternoon. It took me all day yesterday to get to a place of peace. And I was like, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know what's going on. But the anxiety that I feel, the darkness that I feel pervasive upon me right now, and the sense of defeat that I feel, I don't understand it. And the anxiety, the desire to just want to run, I don't get that. And so, Lord, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to listen. 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 And eventually, peace came. The peace that passes all understanding that guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You don't have to know what's going on to experience peace. And then I opened my devotions this morning, the book of Job, archaeological Bible. The first commentary line says, Christians sometimes suffer for God and won't know why. Huh. Huh. So, Lord, could you tell us why? Could you tell us why? And the Lord says, hey, I got a question for you this morning. When you suffer and you don't know why, can you seek my glory in it? Can you seek my glory in it? Can you seek my glory in it? I wrote an article that's going to come out on BeliefNet here in the next couple of weeks, and it's about why did Zipporah have to cut the foreskin off of Moses' son and put it on his feet. It's a pretty bizarre story because God was getting ready to kill Moses. And she makes a statement, you are a bridegroom of blood to me, Moses. Do you know what she's saying, Cindy? She's saying to her husband, because you wouldn't have the courage to do what God called you to do, I'll do it for you. Ladies, sometimes you have to step in the gap for your husband. And you have to do part of his calling because he's too upset at God like Moses was. And you've got to love your husband and your family and your God enough to sometimes step in the gap for your husband who's not being the spiritual leader of the home. Huh. Very interesting story. Jesus stirs opinion of who he is. Look at verse 19. Has not Moses given you the law yet? None of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? The crowd answered, you have a demon, Jesus. Who is seeking to kill you? And Jesus answered them, I did one work, and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you what? There it is, circumcision, even though he didn't want to follow it with his own son. Not that it's from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision, so the law of Moses may not be broken. Are you angry with me because of the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do you know what I find interesting is sometimes people are like, well, you know, I don't want to be a part of that Easter stuff because they're going to get together and people are going to pray and give their life to Christ. And I just, you know, it's like, really? That discourages you? Boy, you've got a real problem. If people giving their life to Christ is a concern to you, you've missed the kingdom. You've missed the kingdom. You've missed the kingdom. That's all this is about. All this is about is becoming one of his and then becoming like him through discipleship. That's it. That's all this is about. Jesus answered them, I did one work, and you marvel. Moses gave this. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. By the way, when you quote, don't judge lest you be, remember to read this verse too. Some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, is not this the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is speaking openly. They say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? Turns out some of these people were very perceptive of the enemies of Christ. Do you know what the enemy will do to you? And both of these are very painful. The enemy will tell you you're a nobody. Okay, who do you think you are? How do you think God's going to use your life? Look at how much of a pipsqueak you are. You know, how could God ever use you? You know, there were 25 people at pickup basketball on Thursday because it was spring break. I only had 10 invites, sorry. So I'm walking through the gym, you know, during my time to be off the court, and I'm handing these to people, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know how this is going to be perceived, and this is not my church that I'm playing basketball in, which I won't get into that. But anyway, I hear the enemy just telling me all this stuff. And it's like, you know what? I've decided, whether it's being a farmer, whether it's playing basketball, I'm going to be who God created me to be. That's who I'm going to be. You have to decide who you're going to be. You go, yeah, but you're just not very good at it. I agree. I'm so grateful that God didn't call us to perfection, but to faithfulness. So great. And I'm so glad that when Tasha and I held hands, you know, we've been doing a marriage seminar on Wednesday nights. I'm so glad that when we held hands, I didn't say, and Tasha, I'll be a perfect husband till death do us part. And she didn't say that to me. But we know where this man comes from. And when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from. Oh, really? You should read the Bible. The Bible's pretty clear where he's going to come from. And Jesus proclaimed as he taught in the temple, you know me and you know where I come from, but I've not come of my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him who you do not know, I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me. So they were seeking to arrest him. Huh. They're going to put Jesus in prison. Because he declares himself to be who he actually is. I love this. But no one laid a hand on him. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. Jesus said to Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you. But I've prayed for you. But I've prayed for you. Jesus did for Peter what the Father did for the Son. The enemy asked. The enemy asked, hey, I'd like to sift Job. God says, go right ahead. And I'm going to show you a man that ain't going to give in to you. I'm going to show you a man that's not going to curse me because of the stuff I take from him. I'm going to show you a man that's going to stand for me regardless of what it cost him. And in the end, I'm going to show you a man that I'm going to bless 100-fold of what he once had. That's the Bible. That's the story of the Bible. Yet many of the people believed in him. See, what's interesting is while you suffer in your faith, through your suffering, people will come to Christ. If you will remain faithful to who God has created you to be, in spite of the suffering of your life, in spite of the moments like I described to you, God will bring people to himself. When the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done? I love that. Well, I mean, how many did he need to do? He raised the dead. I mean, this is so funny to me. This is so funny to me. This is what religion does. Well, let's see if we can figure out if his scorecard is just a little below so we can declare him not who he says he is. And the Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him, and the chief priests and the Pharisees, they sent officers to arrest him. And Jesus then said, I'll be with you a little longer, and then I'm going to him who sent me, and you'll seek me and you'll not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. The Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we will not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying, you will seek me and you'll not find me? And where I am, you cannot come. Look at verse 37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up. And he cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Do you think any of the people in this audience might have heard about the woman at the well in John 4? Oh, that's the guy. That's the guy. You know, and his history says that her name was Fiona. That's the guy Fiona told us about. There he is. There, this is what I love about Jesus. Jesus does not discriminate when it comes to who he'll save. And neither should we. Neither should we. Well, I don't know if that person... Oh, no, just let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Now, this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So, who's Jesus? Number six, Jesus is the living water of eternal life. Jesus is the living water of eternal life. When they heard these things, some of the people said, this really is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, is the Christ come from Galilee? Because they called him a Galilean. But he was from Nazareth, born in Bethlehem. He fulfilled all the prophecy, but they were splitting hairs here. Has not the scripture said that the Christ come from the offspring of David? By the way, Jesus did. Matthew 1, Luke 1. The villages where David was, so there was a division among the people over him. Huh, sounds like now. Some of them wanted to arrest him. So some of them wanted to put him in prison, but no one laid hands on him. The officers then came, and the chief priests and the Pharisees said to him, why do you not bring him? The officers answered, no one ever spoke like this man. I love that. Why didn't you arrest him and take, because there's nobody, I've never met anyone like this guy. So who is Jesus? Number seven, Jesus speaks with heavenly authority. Amen. The Pharisees answered them, have you also been deceived? Listen, let me say it really clear. I will be deceived all my life for Jesus, if that's how you want to say it. I will be deceived for all my life for Jesus, if that's how you want to say it. Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? Oh, now we got to take a poll. Now we got to take a poll to see if the popular people, the authority people, the well-known religious people, what they think. Listen to me. Let me say it really clear. I don't care what the well-known religious people think about Jesus. I only care what the Bible says. That's it. And see, why is this pertinent? Because you deal with this in your life. You deal with this in your life. Listen, there are so many people when it comes to sexuality have given up ground to their loved ones in hopes of this still having a loving relationship. They're coming for your Jesus-only ground. And you'll have to make that choice. You'll have to make that decision. The enemy is not happy taking some ground from you so you can be fakely harmonious in relationship with people. He's coming to take it all. And you're going to have to decide who he is. They replied, are you from Galilee too? I'm sorry. Let me back up verse 47. 49. But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Oh, so these peons down here. I love verse 50. And by the way, I just want to give you a little spoiler. Nicodemus is going to show up at Jesus' grave at the death of Jesus, the expert. So listen to me. There's plenty of experts out there that don't yet have the courage to follow Jesus. Nicodemus, who had gone to him before, and who was one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?" And they replied, "Are you from Galilee too?" I love that. You say, "What do you mean?" Here's what I mean. I love it when I get insulted like Jesus was insulted. That's when I know I've arrived. When I get insulted, when you get insulted the same way they insulted Jesus, that's when you know you're following the right direction. Search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee. Well, search and see. Go to Israel and find out that Nazareth is a part of the region of Galilee. Split hairs all you want. Do you know that recently, and I'll close with this. I don't know if you know this or not, but extreme Muslim groups in Africa are killing Christians everywhere. Do you know this? You can Google this later if you care to. But just a few weeks ago in the Congo, 70 men and women were in their church having church. And Muslim extremists came into that church and beheaded every one of them. Martyrs. Martyrs. The Bible speaks of martyrs in the book of Revelation. Do you think you can reason with the devil? Let me remind you what he came to do. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 10. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? Amen? Amen. This Easter season, remind yourself who Jesus is and take ground from the enemy. In Jesus' name, let's pray.
Thanks for listening to the Vanguard Central podcast. We encourage you to go out and live your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. God bless you, friend. See you next time.